Okay, good afternoon again. So time for the second talk, and yes, feel free to start. Second talk again about OpenStreetMap, an open risk index with learning indicators from OSM tags developed by machine learning and trained with the World Risk Index.
Thank you very much, Marco, and also thank you very much for the opportunity to give this short speech here today. My name is Daniel. I'm working at the University of Stuttgart at the Institute of Spatial and Regional Planning as a research assistant and also lecturer. And at the Institute, we haven't used any FOSS tools before, so now my colleague, which convinced me last year actually to come for the first time to the FOSS worksheet, to Dar es Salaam. And so now we're trying to include it in our teaching and get it more established at the university and our institute. So basically, that's the reason we are here, to get new inputs and also to present something. And the idea behind this little side project was to get a justification to come here, that our professor would pay for our travel expenses and for us to get some new inputs. So we had to come up with something, and that's what you're going to see today. I think now, looking at the title, it seems not so much comprehensive, to be honest, in my own words. I hope that I can clear it up in the next 20 minutes, at least a little bit. So what is the idea in a nutshell? It's basically, vulnerability is a spatial concept with spatial attributes, and looking at it from different angles, somehow the idea was somehow it should be included in OpenStreetMap. I had no clue how, and I definitely had no clue how to get there, but somehow this idea came up last year during several inputs, so on, and so that was basically the starting question or the starting idea where we got started somehow. And we thought it's fun to do that in some free time, and didn't realize how much work it could be, and it was actually. Okay, so just a brief outline about my talk, as we are today not a disaster risk conference, so I first start with some background of the World Risk Index, the idea development, to understand what is the idea of a socioeconomic vulnerability, because I assume you're all not very familiar with this concept. And then the second step to how to derive with OpenStreetMap a vulnerability index on a global scale. So what is disaster risk? You can basically say it consists of three components. We have the hazard component, the exposure, and the vulnerability. If we now look on global climate models, it's clear that the hazard side increase in magnitude and frequency, and also the exposure is going to increase, of course. Looking at the vulnerability, it's a little bit more interesting, and just looking on a global scale is not enough, because globally we could say it stays more or less the same, slight reduces, but the interesting question, how is it in space and time? So somehow we need to measure it. We have to look at it on different scales, on different levels in time and space. And that's just some analysis done by our Institute of the World Risk Index, looking from 2012 to 17 at the vulnerability and its development. And it's clearly showing that the regions worldwide are developing differently. And in light of climate change adaptation, the question is, can we detect decision points, or how can we counteract those developments, as we clearly having rising exposure, rising hazard. We don't want to stick at the same vulnerability level, because that means just we're going to increase losses in. So the question is here, how to detect those patterns and maybe explain it, to find measures to counteract on different scales, administrative scales, and different levels. So it's a huge need to have scalable, understandable indicators or composite measurements. One approach quite accepted, quite, or let's say a little bit different but similar to the informed risk index from the JRC, developed by Professor Bergman, was the World Risk Index, trying to focus on explaining natural hazards, so in this case floods, sea level rise, storms, droughts, earthquakes, that's combined to an index of how many people of each country are annually affected, and the vulnerability component. So the question, what is socioeconomic vulnerability? It's basically here in this concept described as three main dimensions: the susceptibility, so in the short term, if you have the impact, what is the likelihood of suffering? Then the coping capacity, so in a short-term perspective, to avoid or to reduce negative consequences, but also look at the adaptive capacity. So is the society able in the long term to include new measures, to avoid, to adapt to different stressors, different levels like research, building codes, implementation? So it's quite looking not only at the phenomena, so because basically if a flood happens where nobody is, it doesn't matter really, so we don't mind. So the question is really here the human perspective of explaining it. Now, looking into more into detail, like zooming into this vulnerability, the World Risk Index consists of 23 indicators. Like I said, susceptibility, coping, and adaptive capacity, and again, some subtopics. And I was involved in updating this risk index by different governmental sources. And it was a lot of fun, and realizing that, yeah, the indicators, sometimes the calculation was changed, countries were dropped out, different years, only missing years. So combining different sources, different country names, you name it, whatever you want, you know data, you know how different data sources look, and moreover, on a global scale, these global data sets are interesting to go through. And so doing that, the idea, basically I thought, there is a global data set combining a lot of those information we have seen, so infrastructure, all the socioeconomic component, and that's the OpenStreetMap database. It has a global coverage, of course not the same coverage in each country, but having a lot of social attributes, cultural attributes even, what we were missing in the World Risk Index, hospitals, schools. So I thought, just looking at these teams in both data sources, somehow they should be connected, or somehow it should be possible to interchange and like derive a robust calculation based on OpenStreetMap to develop also this vulnerability. But I had no clue really how to do it. So four basic steps, each step posing some challenge of its own, was the final outline we wanted to go through, or we had to go through. So first of all, how to derive indicators from the OpenStreetMap database. We just have seen the keys and tags and key value pairs and different spelling of the same topic, how you cope with that, how you cope this anarchy somehow, how you can it like combine it to valid indicators and on a global scale. So secondly, of course, working with data, you somehow have to clean them up, to structure them for completeness, robustness. And in a third step, the idea was to use machine learning, so to understand, to unveil the curtain, so get this linkage from OpenStreetMap to vulnerability, once in a supervised way, but also in an unsupervised way, which I briefly going to explain, so that we finally could have some global map for vulnerability entirely based on OpenStreetMap data and indicator. Coming to the first step, the indicators, we downloaded the full Planet file, we just heard about it, reduced the tags with a whitelist to somehow make it possible to work with our computational power we had available at the Institute, converted all nodes to clips, imported to PostGIS, and in the first step, we removed tags with less than 20 countries. So finally, we ended up with two data sets, and they were per country, just the counts. Once summed up for the keys, so not key value, just the keys, how often such count of key per country. And the second data set we worked from now on was the tag data set, so key value pairs as indicators also count per country. So in case of lines and polygons, not the areas, to simplify it, because it just would have exceeded the computational effort we would have needed. So it was a huge simplification in a first approach to say, okay, we count it per country, normalize it with the population, which is more or less not perfect approximation, but so we try to adapt with it. In the next step, this data set now we had was for tags, basically 170 countries with 110 columns, each presenting one key as an indicator. And for the tags, it was 1,342 columns, also presenting indicators with counts per country. So from the statistical perspective, we said, okay, to have a global meaning, we want to have that it covers at least 50% of the countries. Then indicators with zero and near zero variance were removed. And also, we did a last step, a pairwise correlation, to say, okay, for statistical analysis, we want to remove two highly correlated indicator pairs. So we ended up with two data sets reduced and having around 30 keys and roughly around 100 tags for each country. So we could get started with the analysis. The idea was to use a linear-based model and a non-linear model. In order, we really didn't know how vulnerability, is it like some linear relation, non-linear? So the idea was to take lasso regression as a dimension reduction method compared to rich regression, which is not reducing the dimension. We choose lasso because we wanted to get a subset which is understandable and usable. And in between, it was a minor step to somehow better understand the data with a regression tree and continue to the random forest. And like I briefly mentioned, on an explanatory level, just look at the 20 countries with the highest vulnerability and understand the underlying structure of the data of the OpenStreetMap. So sub-select the 20 countries and analyze with principal component analysis what are the major components within those highly vulnerable countries. So I started first with the lasso regression. It was quite some struggle to get the model running, and was quite happy on a Saturday evening that finally after a day the model ran through and the result was basically that. So instead of having a nice map and analyzing, going into detail, my model kicked out all predictors, and that was not what I had expected. So, and I didn't want to present here really to say, okay, sorry guys, it was a nice idea, but basically I failed. Yeah, all predictors were deleted, and I needed a beer and I took the Sunday at least definitely off. I couldn't see it anymore. So somehow I tried to understand this results and where they come from. And it came to my understanding, at least for the data at this point, that just like linearity, the assumption of linearity does not reflect at all. So even using a nice machine learning lasso regression algorithm with test and training data and bootstrapping everything in it, yeah, you just still can get something like that. It just does not work because it's not the assumption, it's not right. So I tried my luck with random forests and I got some results, luckily for me, although they were also interesting. I now here put on this slide, side to side, that's the World Risk Index with its components and subcomponents. And those are the most important keys of OpenStreetMap in the model for modeling vulnerability. I think it's quite interesting to see that like some topics are related quite directly in a first view. If you look, yeah, land use, we have the environment with a lot of environmental global indicators in it. Infrastructure and also investment. So we have a lot of here traffic signals, traffic calming. And interesting was also that we got like fire hydrant diameter in it, and as something you wouldn't get out of official global data sets, but clearly related to vulnerability. And from the others, you could assume some understanding of like economic capacity is measured with GDP, and you could assume, but I don't want to do it now because it would need more statistical justification. But yeah, traffic calming could be like related to GDP somehow. So the question is here really now to go more into detail and explain which facets are really explained by each type. The same I did with the keys, and then I mapped both models on a global scale. And actually, they were quite similar. Roughly around 70% of the countries were correct classified, and the majority was just by one class wrong, basically. The United States voted them out themselves during the last election somehow. No, seriously, I don't know what happened. We lost it during our modeling somewhere on the way. It should be there. It was there. It got lost. It happens sometimes. So we now see this same map based on the tags. And again, like saying the prediction quality of the random forest model of the category of the country is roughly 70%, and including like one class up or down, it's even higher. So looking at the countries with the highest arrow, looking at Malaysia, Yemen, Seychelles, and Cuba. So the World Risk Index said category 3, the random forest model said 1, so it's an underestimation of the vulnerability. For Yemen, the same, and for Seychelles, it's turned around. I looked it up, and I concluded basically comparing it the OpenStreetMap model with the World Risk Index, that actually the model modeled closer the susceptibility component than the adaptive or the coping capacity. And I thought that's quite interesting to see that like the immediate effect of vulnerability is like better represented in the OpenStreetMap data. And that made somehow sense to me. So that somehow I could explain. This difference is still open to analyze. Just going really briefly to the analysis of the 20 countries' most or highest vulnerability with PCA. The analysis was correct for 70% of the variance within the data set. We had 7 components, and again, just like briefly, looking at the topics, there is a similarity to the components of the World Risk Index, what is quite interesting. I just basically mentioned that already at the beginning, and as I'm running a little bit out of time, want briefly to say, okay, why do we need it? We want to monitor it, we want to measure to detect trends and avoid or decrease vulnerability. What is our conclusion? In three words, the first results showed that, like with the simplification of counts per country, there is some way of modeling vulnerability and to monitor vulnerability based on OpenStreetMap. But on the other hand, where to go now? We have first results, and of course the second step is to increase transparency, robustness, and validity of the model. And I think for that we would need, or going to also, not only look at the vulnerability, but also look at the subcomponents to better explain which linkages exist between certain aspects like adaptive or infrastructure and OpenStreetMap. So from here, yeah, the scalability was with this approach reduced and increased the robustness of the model now. So thank you very much, and I'm opening the questions now. I didn't prepare any questions because I didn't want to guide you. Have heard to me now for a while, and I want to be open for anything what comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel, for the very interesting presentation. Any question from the audience? I have one. So you said at the beginning, you showed that in your analysis you left outside some tags, some keys and values actually that were not appearing in all the countries, right? So my question is, did you ask whether you may have left outside something important for the computation of the index? For example, I didn't see, maybe I missed it, but I didn't see the highway tag. Which might be, of course, useful, no, for computation of the index.
Yeah, thanks for the comment. I think that's quite a important remark and comment on it. The idea was to entirely do it computationally, so without interfering and without bringing in my own assumptions, so that I get like surprising results. But I didn't want to, like, I also found ways of selecting tags and keys first, but somehow I felt like if I would do that, I would bring in my assumption into it. And I wanted to make the model free of my own suggestions, what is related to vulnerability. And so that was in the first step the reason not to do it. On the other hand, like you said, exactly the tag reduction by country and also the correlation analysis, I think would be needed to check now in a second step to say, okay, maybe we should include some tags in further detail, which now were left out, so combine it. Yeah, thanks, that's quite correct.
Thank you. Yes.
The most vulnerable countries are generally the countries with less data. So how did you consider that in your computing in OpenStreetMap?
Another excellent question. We considered it, but not considered it, to be honest here. We normalized by the population, but of course we know that OpenStreetMap coverage does not fit this number of people in a country. So we thought about using some other way of normalization to use like the coverage of the country or so, but we tried several things but couldn't come up with a good solution actually. So that's the reason we still have to figure out to adjust for that better. Yeah.
Yes, one short question.
So do you think this could be used if, you know, now you kind of proved that this can be done, so, but it was kind of correlated with the other data set, so just to prove that it kind of works. But if you wanted to go forward to receive new data, do you think it would be possible to run that on regions inside the countries, like states, to get new data?
Two good points, and I think I would answer both. I think for the part of future new data, it would be really interesting to now look into some empirical validation approaches like global extreme event data sets and combine it and look there how you could explain the vulnerability or not really with real data, so real events. So that's like the case of how to include or train the index to adapt to new events in the future. I think that's an interesting approach. And secondly, we also thought about how it could be better scalable and to work on sub-regional level, sub-national level. And if you're interested in that, then just stay for the next talk, please.
Thanks again, Daniel, for this interesting talk and this very promising work. So we now have some minutes for the audience to move between the rooms. And in the meantime, I ask to the next speaker to prepare. Thank you.